You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council, talking Carolina Panthers with you every Monday through Friday. Your team every day, and sometimes, like you found out on Wednesday, when we have the big time breaking news, like the Carolina Panthers, Scott Fitterer getting fitty with it, which is so corny, but I love it. Scott Fitterer trading for Stephon Gilmore, I come out with a reaction podcast. Thankfully, I was working from home and was able to get that reaction to y'all right away. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, so please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. You can also check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, and wherever you like to listen to this show and all of your favorite podcasts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow me on Twitter, at Julian Council, where you can get my live visceral reaction whenever the Carolina Panthers do have a crazy trade like they did on Wednesday, getting Stephon Gilmore. Again, you know the Carolina Panthers got Stephon Gilmore. I'm still on cloud nine over all of that. You can also follow me on Twitter because every single Friday, like tomorrow, I'm going to need you to send me your weekly Friday mailbag questions here on Locked On Panthers, or answer whatever question you have as it pertains to your Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, at 3-1, are still tied atop the NFC South standings with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But forget them. We got Gilmore now, and the Panthers are looking like a playoff team. I knew going into the year I didn't think that was going to happen. I might be all in, baby, on the Carolina Panthers going to the playoffs. Now they got the Stephon Gilmore. Darnold's looked good so far. McCaffrey might be back ready to go on Sunday, as we'll see what he looks like again later on this afternoon on Thursday, as this, of course, is your Thursday show here on Locked On Panthers. But please send me in those questions either at me at Julian Council or DM me at Julian Council. A lot of y'all asked me about Stephon Gilmore. Those questions now don't need to be answered because Scott Fitterer went ahead and took care of that. You also asked me about Jalen Smith, and who knows, by the time you hear this, he might be a Carolina Panther, considering that Scott Fitterer said he'd be in on every deal, and the man ain't lied yet. So we'll find out what happens there. So please get in new questions to me for tomorrow's weekly mailbag here on Locked On Panthers. Either DM me at Julian Council or tweeting at me at Julian Council. But make sure to first tweet at me at Julian Council. On today's show, going to talk to Louis DiBiase of the Locked On Birds podcast, meaning Locked On Eagles. They call themselves the Birds up there in Philly. I actually enjoy Philly. Been in an Eagles game before against the formerly known as Washington Redskins. Not a bad place to go watch a game. Now, of course, don't be the opposing fan because then you might have issues there in Philadelphia. Either way, I actually enjoy the city of Philadelphia. The fans are kind of crazy. The Eagles, though, are somewhat interesting because they're always super dysfunctional. So we'll sit down and talk to Louis about the game coming up here on Sunday at Bank of America Stadium with your 3-1 Panthers versus their 1-3 Philadelphia Eagles. All that and more coming up here right after this quick message from Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. If you didn't know, in your pocket, that means your smartphone. Hopefully you have an iPhone and not those Androids. Hate the green text. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find a solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Julian, what's up, man? First time ever doing a show together. The Eagles and Panthers haven't played since we were talking about it before the show. That frustrating 2018 game where Cam Newton on 4th-and-12 bounces off Brandon Graham. It would have been the game. He pushes the chains to Torrey Smith. Believe it or not, the year after he was on the Eagles Super Bowl team, and they handed the Eagles a big L, but the teams have changed completely since that. I guess the NFL really does stand for not for long for a reason.
Louie, what's going on, bro?
What's up, man?
Yeah, no, I was actually thinking back because, like, the last time I remember the Panthers and Eagles playing was that Thursday night football game, the last time they were here in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium, back when y'all were still in love with Carson Wentz, of course, who's now with the Colts. The funny story about that game back in 2018 was I was living in Nashville at the time, covering the Titans for the ESPN affiliate down there. Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends from college, one of my fraternity brothers, he is from Haddonfield, New Jersey, right outside of Philly. He's a big Eagles guy. And he had just moved to Nashville and he was trying to, like, meet other people. So he went to an Eagles bar that afternoon. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll come show up. So I'm the lone Panthers fan in the Eagles bar. And then you remember the game, Eagles fans, Panther fans remember the game. The Eagles dominated for, like, the first, what, 2.5, 3 quarters?
I'd say so, yeah.
And then Carolina just had a remarkable comeback in that game. I'm just sitting there just like, this is incredible. I am the lone Panthers guy in this Eagles bar around a bunch of distraught Eagles fans. And I actually have a lot of respect for the Philly fan base. I've been to an Eagles game a couple years ago back when my buddy was living in Rittenhouse Square in Philly. And I honestly enjoy your fan base. I know the Santa Claus thing and y'all can be kind of unruly, but, like, I totally respect it. And honestly, like, I'm a big fan of the city of Philly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of the same thing with me. I'm known as, like, a closet Panthers fan around Lockdown Eagles circles just because they, I feels like every time the draft comes around, they're grabbing the guys that myself and my co-host Gino Camilleri kind of fall in love with. So Carolina and Philadelphia, two teams that I think my podcasts are very familiar with. And, you know, Julian, we're going to get into the matchup itself on Sunday, a battle between the 3-1 Panthers and the 1-3 Eagles. But before we do that, kind of a first look at these teams, it's interesting to see, you know, we mentioned Cam Newton and Carson Wentz. These teams are now living in a post-Cam Newton, post-Carson Wentz world, and it's interesting to see where these teams are at now without their former franchise quarterbacks. And I don't know, I feel like the Panthers are almost like a year ahead because they moved on from Cam Newton after the 2019 season, where the Eagles move on from Carson Wentz in 2020. And what a year it's been for Carolina, just, I think, building their roster and really the past couple of years. I mean, you guys have really done a great job, especially on defense. Yeah. I think building a great young nucleus. And I think the Eagles are desperate for that kind of personnel. Their defensive coordinator this week said they don't even have a dime package because they don't have enough competent defensive backs. And then I look at Carolina and they traded for Stephon Gilmore on Wednesday as well. It's like, it's just, you know, flowing with first round talent on all three levels. And I think the Eagles could really use that blueprint in the next coming draft with all their draft picks.
No, definitely. You have a first year head coach, Nick Sirianni. So hopefully in year two, like here with Matt Rhule in Carolina, you might be in the same position the Carolina Panthers are in. That's kind of the beauty of the NFL. You look at other sports, especially across major sports leagues here in America, particularly the NBA, really, you got to be a major market team to really have any sort of chance at getting superstars in free agency and building an organization. But the NFL, you can go from being 5-11 one year, first year head coach, to hiring a new GM, getting a new quarterback in Sam Darnold like Carolina's done, and it being 3-1 through the first 4 weeks of the season and thinking so highly of yourselves that you're like, hey, Stephon Gilmore, he's available. Let's go get him, bring him back home here to Charlotte to fill the role that we're now missing because J.C. Horn, your first round pick, who he's out for possibly the rest of the season with a broken foot suffered a couple weeks ago. The Panthers are in a great spot. You bring up the fact that they brought in a ton of young defensive talent. Even before the Federal Rule regime was here, they got Brian Burns at like 15th overall in the draft, which is how was that even possible to happen? Then they draft Derrick Brown. They use all seven picks in 2020 on defensive players. Jeremy Chinn arguably was the defensive player of the year last season because Chase Young was number two pick and did Chase Young things. He got the award instead, but Chinn was great. You have a young nucleus also of now you have Horn, and they look so good defensively. Shaq Thompson's been one of the lone holdovers from the pass regime that's actually been to the playoffs. He's been playing out of his mind. Now he won't play on Sunday, and he might also be out next Sunday when the Vikings come to town for Carolina, but they have a young, fast, talented, hungry defense. And so far, so good with Sam Darnold. He made some mistakes, probably his worst game so far as a Panther last Sunday against your division rival, Dallas Cowboys, down there in Dallas. But he still threw for 300 yards, which, by the way, it's the first time in Panthers history where a quarterback has thrown for 300 plus yards in three straight games. Cam Newton never even did that. And that's the guy who came out slinging for 400 plus yards back-to-back games at the start of his career here in Carolina. There's a lot of good vibes down here in the Carolinas right now. I'm fired about this team, and I'm really excited to see what they have moving forward because they feel like a playoff team. And I did not expect that to happen this year. I thought, hey, 3-1, I'm not really that surprised by it looking at the schedule, but man, they could achieve a lot more than what a lot of us thought heading into the season.
I totally agree. And I think when you look at how these two teams are building, it feels like the Panthers kind of started on defense when it comes to rebuilding that unit. And then the offense, I mean, the offense already had weapons, right? DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, but it feels like the last drafts, I mean, you said just a couple of years ago, they used all seven picks on defense. The Eagles, it's been the opposite. They haven't used a first round pick or a second round pick on a defensive player since 2017. So it's kind of been the opposite where the Eagles are building on the offensive side of the football. And I think, again, Julian, these teams aren't, I know the Panthers are 3-1 and the Eagles are 1-3, but I think both teams look like, I mean, they compete with every team every single week. I think the biggest question mark, again, though, is just the quarterback. I mean, you mentioned Sam Darnold's had a great start to the season the first month. I feel like the Eagles have been pretty pleased with what they've seen from Jalen Hurts. I think they've both shown promising potential through the first month. But it's just like, it's interesting because I feel like both quarterbacks weren't the franchise's first choices. There was the rumor about the Matt Stafford trade with the Panthers. Yeah. I think the Eagles wanted to make things work with Carson Wentz. I think they've kicked the tires on Deshaun Watson. I think they looked into a trade up for Zach Wilson, but they did at the same time, both teams chose them over Justin Fields. So it is interesting to see how these teams handle this quarterback position. I feel like they kind of took the middle ground with their approach this offseason.
Yeah, I think too of Philly, like having Howie Roseman still there as a general manager who just drafted Jalen Hurts a year ago. It kind of makes sense to me why they would stick with him. He's a second round pick. Like the guy was highly successful back in college at Alabama and Oklahoma. So why not, you know, give him a year to figure things out? It's not like you have the option of a fifth year option as a first round pick. So you can move on relatively quickly if you want to. And you're not paying him a ton of money at that quarterback position. But you brought up the fact that Carolina, they were done with Teddy Bridgewater. Like 2 weeks left in the season, the owner, David Tepper, after he relieved Marty Herney, the former GM of his duties here in Carolina, he said, if you don't have that quarterback that can go out there and help you win Super Bowls, then you need to be in constant pursuit of him. And he put Teddy Bridgewater on notice. They were looking at Mac Jones at the Senior Bowl. I guess they weren't really a fan of what they saw from him in Mobile, at least not enough. They were trying to get Matthew Stafford. I'm of the personal belief that the owner here doesn't have the patience to sit around and wait for a rookie to develop for 3 years, then hope that you got it right. Stafford thing didn't work out. I do believe that Deshaun Watson didn't have the 22 sexual assault allegations against him right now, that he would be the starting quarterback here in Carolina. They saw tape on Sam Darnold. They like what they saw. They thought in this system with Joe Brady, these weapons, that he would have an opportunity to be successful. And through 4 weeks of the season, he's certainly shown that he's more than capable of being a solid quarterback in the system and in the NFL. Now, the question is, Super Bowl is what they want. Like, is he good enough to be able to beat a Dak Prescott or beat a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or any of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the NFC?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out.
That's the interesting part, Julian. I feel like both guys have a good skill set for the modern day NFL, right? They're both mobile. They both can push the ball down the field, right? They can extend plays in different areas of their game. But at the same time, these teams are used to having Cam Newton, who won an MVP in 2015. Mm-hmm. And even for what Carson Wentz wasn't last year, in 2017 to 2019, he did elevate a lot of issues on that roster.
He was going to win that MVP before he got hurt at the LA Coliseum.
And even in 2019, he won five straight games down the stretch with a practice squad skill position set and won the NFC East. So I agree. It's like both guys, Darnold and Hurts, have a certain floor. But the big question this year is finding out about that ceiling. So both teams know where to go in the 2022 NFL draft. Or again, both teams were linked to Deshaun Watson, and there could be other veteran quarterbacks next offseason that are available for trade. So I can't wait to see this matchup on Sunday. I think it's a very even matchup. And I think both teams are kind of on a similar timeline right now with kind of this new era. And Julie and I, we're going to dive into the matchup coming up next on Crossover Thursday. It's Locked On Eagles, Locked On Panthers. Guys, we'll get into Eagles, their offense against the Panthers defense coming up next. All right, guys, welcome back in. It's Crossover Thursday right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Louie DiBiase, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast, alongside Julian Council, host of Locked On Panthers. Julian, we're getting into this matchup on Sunday, a 1 p.m. kickoff in Charlotte between the Eagles and the Panthers. And I want to get into first the Eagles offense and the Panthers defense. I feel like this is the marquee matchup, right? I think it's the strength of both teams. At least as of right now, the Panthers are one of, if not the best defense in football. I feel like the Eagles defense, they've allowed 83 points the last 2 weeks and nearly 1,000 yards of offense. Their offense is what's had to pick up the slack. So this is the matchup I'm excited to see, strength versus strength. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm nervous about that front against the Panthers pass rush. You got Brian Burns, you got Derek Brown, you got Hassan Riddick against the Eagles offensive line that normally is a strong suit, but they're without both their starting guards. They were without both starting tackles last week. That could be the case again this week. Center Jason Kelce was the only starter. If that's the case again, I mean, the Chiefs pass rush is nowhere near what Carolina has. That has me pretty nervous.
Yeah, and the Chiefs defense is nowhere near what Carolina has right now. Like, that's a team that I thought that might have been in the Stephon Gilmore sweepstakes. You have to wonder, Kansas City, like, it only cost a 6-round pick, and you couldn't give that up to try and fix that secondary and fix that defense overall. But hey, we'll take them here in Carolina. You're right, though. The Panthers going up against a patchwork offensive line with no Lane Johnson, who I know was a surprise inactive last week.
Yep.
And also missing three other starters outside of Jason Kelce. That's going to be a problem for Philly come Sunday afternoon down here at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. Like, Brian Burns has been fantastic. He's a guy who I think has a great chance to be a Pro Bowler. I had questions about Hassan Riddick, whether it was real last year or it was the contract year being undefeated.
Sure.
Now he's in another contract year, so it might still be undefeated. But 4.5 sacks through 4 weeks so far this season. Morgan Fox, who was really good last year, playing next to Aaron Donald, in certain situations in the pass rush, the Rams, he's looked great. Derek Brown, Daquan Jones, like, they've been fast. They've been physical. And they even send the safety blitz. Like, guys like Jeremy Chinn could be coming up the middle. You could see Sean Chandler, who's been coming up on the edge. That's going to be an issue for Philly if they're not healthy and if they can't block the Panthers, because the Panthers have made the lives of Davis Mills and Zach Wilson and Jameis Winston complete hell. And the Saints, like, they only missed their starting center, but they still had four of their five starters available in that game. They struggled against the defensive pressure that Phil Snow sent throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, luckily for the Eagles, they have a mobile quarterback. And I do think the offensive line held pretty intact last week. I mean, that just goes to show how good the Eagles offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland is. He always elevates the unit. But at the same time, again, like we've said, this Panthers pass rush is different than what Kansas City is. Kansas City's defense is the reason they are not in a playoff spot currently through the first month of the season. So the Eagles definitely have to step up in that department. We'll see what happens with their tackles. Jordan Mailata, their starting left tackle, was limited in practice today. Lane Johnson still dealing with his personal issue. It was reported he might be back at the facility today, but he never did return. We'll see if that happens later in the week. But yeah, Panthers fans, you guys might be going up against an offensive line that only has one starter from week one in Jason Kelce. And that could be an issue for the Eagles. But Julian, at the same time, you look at the second and third level of this matchup, no Shaq Thompson, right? I mean, J.C. Horn is out as well. They did bring in reinforcements with back-to-back trades for Stephon Gilmore and C.J. Henderson, but Gilmore's still on the PUP. I don't think Henderson's playing right either, so that's a matchup to watch, though. Down the field, the Eagles might have some opportunities.
Yeah, Thompson not being on the field is going to be tough for them. He has played all but four defensive snaps so far this season. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level. He's been all over the field, and he is one of their captains, and he's been around for a long time. And he's the quarterback of the defense, you know, the whole cliche there. He wears the helmet sticker and all that and the radio on his helmet. So not having him out there will hurt. Jermaine Carter Jr. will likely be in there in the one linebacker sets that they run. And I think they might actually play a lot of dime this weekend, just going based off of what they did a couple weeks ago against New Orleans. In that game, Thompson played 44 snaps and Carter only played 13 of the 44 defensive snaps. So they've already gone out there and basically played a one linebacker for an entire game before. And that might be something that they implement again on Sunday. The back half, C.J. Henderson, actually, he is available. He did play last week, and I think he played about 15, 18 snaps against Dallas. Was only targeted once. That was a touchdown he gave up to Amari Cooper. But honestly, not really his fault. He ran with him stride for stride. Amari's one of the best receivers in the National Football League, and Dak just put it on him perfectly. It was a dime. So he's going to probably play a lot more this week. Yes, you're right about Gilmore's going to be on the PUP list. He won't be available until week 7 when the Panthers travel to New York to face the Giants. But still, Henderson, they got Boye, who made his Panthers debut last week after missing the first two games and then sitting out week 3 against his former team, the Texans, because they want to get him ready off of that soft tissue injury. He'll be available. Dante Jackson's been really good for them so far this season. And then Justin Burris, their safety, who's still on IR, he'll be out, but you'll still have Jeremy Chinn, Sean Chandler, and Sam Franklin ready to step up. Yeah. So I actually don't feel too bad about the Panthers secondary going up against the Eagles, even though I do like what the Eagles potentially could offer, especially at tight end with the Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, I think, too, last week was a big step for the Eagles' passing attack. I thought it was the first time Jalen Hurts actually took real steps in areas of weakness. I thought he made the right decisions in the pocket. I think he kept his eyes downfield. He was way more accurate, throwing with anticipation. It's just about, though, Julian now stringing those performances now. You know, can you do that not just once, but twice, three times? Can you do it for a whole month? Can you get hot? That's what he's got to do to convince this organization that he's the QB1 long term. I'm excited, too, to see Devontae Smith over 100 yards last week. He looked great. But, yeah, I think the tight ends and maybe against Jeremy Chinn. I'm interested to see what the Panthers use Jeremy Chinn against this Eagles offense. Julian, it's funny. Like, a lot of people think that the Eagles, if they didn't take Jalen Hurts in 2020, Jeremy Chinn was the pick that scouts wanted and former defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz wanted. And that could have, I don't know what would have happened with Carson Wentz if Jalen Hurts isn't drafted, but that could have changed things. So Jeremy Chinn always kind of makes me think of what if, and he's just such a great player. And it's the exact piece the Eagles defense is missing. That guy that can roam and just play, do it all, right? The Swiss Army knife on the second and third level. So he's the guy deep for the Panthers I'm really keeping an eye on. And to see him against the tight ends, I think will be really interesting.
Yeah, he's the perfect fit to this Phil Snow offense, or defense, excuse me. Yeah. He likes to have the positionless player, which, you know, it's kind of weird. You can say positionless player, but in his scheme, like, he'll have Jeremy Chinn last year, majority of his snaps were at linebacker. And there's a potential this week and maybe next week, if Shaq Thompson's out again, that he could go back and play linebacker snaps. And they could ask a guy like Kenny Robinson, who was a fifth round draft pick by the Panthers last year, who's on the practice squad. They could ask him to potentially come in and be the third safety on this roster, elevating Sam Franklin and Sean Chandler to more of a starter position. That could be a potential on Sunday for them. But yeah, I mean, Chin's excellent. He's really good, especially in run defense. Now, his pass coverage is one thing that I don't think a lot of people talk about. The advanced analytics, like the Pro Football Focus and the Football Outsiders, like, they don't really rate him that highly when it comes to coverage. Like, last season, he did struggle against tight ends and in coverage as a linebacker. And this year, you look like last week, he was lined up against Blake Jarwin. Gave up a touchdown, later on in that game against Cedric Wilson. I'm not sitting here trying to bang on Jeremy Chinn, because he certainly is one of the young stars in the National Football League on the defensive side of the ball, and will be a key member of this Panthers defense for a long time. I'm just offering just a little perspective on that might be a challenge for him and the Panthers on Sunday, especially not having Shaq Thompson, when having to deal with another two tight end sets and a lot of 12 and potentially 13 personnel like they dealt with on Sunday against Dallas. That really hurt them.
Yeah, no matter what, I think it's going to be a really interesting back and forth chess match here between these two sides, the Eagles offense and the Panthers defense. Coming up next, Julian, we're going to get into the Eagles defense against the Panthers offense. And I think this is going to be a matchup that could really decide this game with the way the Eagles defense has been struggling the past couple of weeks. It's been the tale of two different halves when it comes to that first month, with just based on how the defense played. So we'll get into that coming up next. Guys, this is Crossover Thursday, Locked On Eagles and Locked On Panthers style. We'll be right back.
We're back and better than ever, as all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field for yet another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, guys, we're wrapping up this edition of Crossover Thursday. Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles, Julian Council of Locked On Panthers. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff between the Birds and the Panthers. The Panthers are 3-1. The Eagles 1-3. But Julian, I think this is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a back and forth matchup. And this is the matchup I'm more concerned with. We kind of said how the Eagles offense and the Panthers defense, it's kind of strength versus strength.
Yeah.
But the way the Eagles defense is playing right now, I mentioned it earlier, they've allowed 83 points the last 2 weeks to the Chiefs and to the Cowboys. They've allowed nearly 900 yards of total offense. Sam Darnold's not Dak Prescott. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's playing well. Joe Brady has that offense really clicking. They have weapons. I'm not going to lie, man. I'm nervous about this defensive unit for the Eagles. They don't have the personnel right now, and I don't love their defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. I don't love his style of just bend, don't break at all costs, regardless of situation.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think Sam Darnold's going to be able to have a lot of success in the passing game on Sunday. Whether Christian McCaffrey plays or not, I don't really think it's necessary for Christian to play, especially if you're, you know, come on, give the guy another week, get ready. And the amount of snaps they ask him to go out there and play, it would make sense maybe give him another week, then bring him back next week against the Vikings. But Robbie Anderson, we've yet to see him. And the Eagles secondary, as we saw last week, when it comes to the deep ball, they can be had. Now, Robbie is not Tyreek Hill. I'm not going to say that he is, but he can hurt you with the deep ball, and we have not really seen that since week one when he had that touchdown connection with Sam Darnold, the two former Jets against their former team, the New York Jets. DJ Moore has been outstanding so far this season. He's been ridiculous. He has had back-to-back 1,100-yard receiving seasons. Looked like he's well on his way for that again and getting a massive bag this offseason. So the Panthers in the passing game can certainly hurt the Eagles. But the one thing I'll say about that, though, is I know Philly's given up a lot of rushing yards. If they can somehow be stout against the run, this Panthers offensive line can be had. I've seen what your guy Javon Hargrave's done so far this season. He's been an absolute menace. Fletcher Cox, he's yet to show up yet. But if you want to get right, go up against a guy like John Miller, and who's the right guard for the Panthers, and then their center, Matt Paradis, two guys who have been turnstiles at points and times this season and really struggled on Sunday against the Cowboys. Cam Irving, the left tackle for the Panthers, he did not practice on Wednesday. I don't know. I mean, this is Thursday, so we'll see what happens the rest of the week, whether he's going to be available on Sunday. But if he's not, that means the Panthers could be starting a left tackle, a rookie, and Brady Christensen, who a lot of fans want to see, or a guy in Trent Scott who started a lot of games last year, but I wouldn't call the greatest option there at left tackle. So that the Panthers can't protect Sam Darnold, and what the pass rushers the Eagles have, there is a potential that this actually could be a game where Philadelphia plays well defensively if they can get Darnold off his spot and get to him and affect him like the Cowboys were able to do, especially in that third quarter, which became disastrous for the Panthers on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's what happened the first 2 weeks, why the Eagles defense was so good against Atlanta and San Francisco, is the defensive line kind of dictated the game with that pass rush. The issue is, you know, you don't have Brandon Graham anymore, kind of the bloodline of that defensive front, the heartbeat, if you will. And like you said, Fletcher Cox has not stepped up this year at all so far. Javon Hargrave is on pace for like 25 sacks. He's been incredible. Josh Sweat has been really good, but Derek Barnett's been a liability too with penalties. That defensive line's got to step up. They haven't the last 2 weeks, but also the issue, man, is like, they can't carry this defense, especially when Jonathan Gannon is so bend, don't break, that it'll be third and one, third and two. It'll be in the red zone too. And he still has everybody playing off the ball and just so much cushion. And the issue is, when you're playing like that, when you have these, you know, two safeties deep every single play, you need a Jeremy Chinn to make up for all that space, right?
Yeah. Between
those athletes on the second and third level. And they don't have the personnel. They don't have the guys in the defensive backfield. They don't have the linebackers. And against some Panthers players that can really win in space, I'm nervous again, like I was against the Cowboys and Chiefs, the personnel in Carolina. Again, Darnold's not Mahomes and Prescott, but they have weapons just like Dallas did and just like Kansas City. So my big key for the Eagles defense is, will Jonathan Gannon adjust? Will he be better situationally with his scheme? Or is he going to be a one-trick pony? And if he's going to be, I think Joe Brady and Sam Darnold are going to be able to tear this team apart. And Joe Brady, by the way, Julian, he was the guy I wanted the Eagles to hire this offseason as a head coach. I think he's going to get a job soon, and I think he's been instrumental for Darnold's development.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get a job. I thought Cincinnati might be his spot, but they're off to a 3-1 start so far, and maybe he's not going to go there. But yeah, he'll get a job. The NFL has kind of made up their mind on him being a genius, and especially if Sam Darnold plays the way he's played the last couple of years, or at least the last couple of weeks, he certainly will get a job. I'm not 100%.
Good things happen when you get away from Adam Gase, man, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's very true. That is true. I mean, I would say, like, I've had the conversation on the podcast. Like, I was a guy, and I still am, highly skeptical of whether Sam Darnold actually truly is the answer here in Carolina. Like, we saw Teddy Bridgewater, who by no means was ever going to be the franchise quarterback here in Carolina. We also saw him get off to a pretty good start last year, and that's, how did that work out? Yeah, so it's a 17-game season. I told my listeners, I'm not making any grand proclamations either way until we get until like week 9 or 10. And I've seen enough on tape to be like, all right, yeah, this guy can be it. I also think it's probably more of a 2-year experiment than a 1-year experiment, unless he, like, of course, falls off the cliff this year. But yeah, Brady, he certainly has looked pretty good the last couple of weeks, especially asking Sam Darnold to run the football in the red zone, which was one of the big bugaboos last year and this season early on, of like, what's going on with Joe Brady and his offense in the red zone. I look at the Eagles. They gave up 5 touchdowns in all five of the Kansas City Chiefs trips last week. Now, It's the Chiefs. It's Mahomes, Patrick Kelce, or Travis Kelce, or is it Kelce now? And then, of course, Tyreek Hill. They got a ton of dudes on that defense and Clyde, or offense and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So it's not going to be the same thing. But look for Sam Darnold potentially to run the ball in the red zone. Panthers might be able to have success there. Now, I'll ask you this one thing. You talk about the secondary and not having the personnel. Like, Darius Slay's back there, right? And Avante Maddox has played a lot of meaningful snaps over the last couple of years. What is the deal, you think, personnel-wise with the Eagles?
Well, so that's the frustrating part, is I feel like what Jonathan Gannon wants to do right now is play, like, two high safeties. He wants to keep everything in front of him, and he wants to just bend and not break, and he wants guys to swarm to the football. The issue, again, is you have a lighter box. You need to make up for that with quality play at linebacker, or a Jeremy Chinn, or what the Eagles used to have, a Malcolm Jenkins like player, and they don't have that kind of guy. He's saying this week that they're not a dime defense, saying like they can't use a lot of defensive backs because they don't have the personnel. My take is you don't have the linebackers to be so heavy in the style you're playing right now, whereas I'd rather be more aggressive and use Darius Slay in different ways. Get him up at the line of scrimmage, let him get his hands on wide receivers, let Steven Nelson do the same thing, let Avante Maddox. I'd rather use, like, you know, although Marcus Epps and, you know, Zach McPherson, the rookie fourth round corner, these aren't like stud players. They're probably going to be a liability on your unit. So too is your starting linebackers, the Jannard Averys of the world, the defensive end that turned linebacker. To me, like, if I'm going to put guys out there like that, that aren't top tier, they're not ideal starters. If I'm going to put guys like that out there, I at least want somebody that can move in space, especially if you're going to stay with this style of defense. So my issue is, again, personnel. Gannon is strapped right now with what he can do, but I actually think his personnel fits more the opposite approach of what he's taking. So I'm interested to see if he'll adjust on Sunday, because the last 2 weeks, if that's not a wake-up call for you, I don't know. I mean, that sounds too much like a closed-minded coach to me, and I thought that was the opposite of what they were getting.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get burned. And offensively, they can certainly be able to put up points that they can protect. But that offensive line situation we talked about earlier in the show might be a problem for the Eagles. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Any kind of where you're leaning on Sunday? I know it's the last time I checked, it was 3.5. Panthers were favored at home.
The Eagles, every line each week is like 3.5. It's been like a pick 'em. Outside of the Chiefs game last week, I feel like the Eagles are going to bounce back. It's a back and forth, because again, I really do like this Panthers team. And I think at 3-1, I don't think it's a phony. I don't know if they're like a top contender. I'm going to say that I think the Eagles are going to get a win here, but again, it's not what I'm like, Eagles are getting a win, confident about it. It's on the road. It's a good Panthers team. It's going to be a back and forth battle. I just think they've been very close each week. And a lot of it's been self-inflicted, you know, the penalties. They have the most penalties by far in the NFL this year. If they can correct some of those things, I think they can get to 2-3, but it's going to be a toss-up game for sure, man. Julian, I think it's a pick 'em, and it's going to be a close, entertaining game for sure.
Yeah, the key to me is if Philly can get the interior pass rush that we saw last week, especially with Dallas, that would be what's going to keep them in the game. And the Panthers, who came into last week leading the NFL in every major defensive statistical category, they were only giving up 45 rushing yards per game through the first 3 weeks. Like, it's not like they faced a real rushing attack until last week against Dallas. And, you know, what Miles Sanders can offer and what Jalen Hurts, who's been leading your team in rushing, can offer with the RPO. And Matt Rhule brought up in this press conference on Wednesday, like, they actually have a defense, like, it's more collegey, that actually fit their RPO's kind of scheme that the Eagles are going to put out there on Sunday afternoon. But they can run the ball in Carolina, and they can get to Sam Darnold and get him off his spot, and Hargrave can continue to do his thing, and Fletcher Cox wakes up, and Josh Sweat, who just got the bag, if he plays well, then, it could end up being a four-quarter game. I just don't really see that happening just based off of just how poorly the Eagles secondary is. I think that the Carolina Panthers will score a lot of points. And I think the Eagles will actually score a decent amount of points just based off of what I've seen from them so far this season, where they have looked good. I mean, the 49ers game wasn't great offensive showing, but San Francisco's a good team. They played them well. The Falcons are terrible, but they went out there and dominated that game. You scored a lot on the Chiefs. It was a puzzling decision not to be aggressive there in the red zone and settling for the field goal or whatever.
That's another issue, man. Red zone offense has been, they've been settle for field goals way too often. I don't know if it's they don't trust Jalen Hurts and everything's been on the boundary. I don't know if they don't trust Jalen Hurts' arm strength fitting, you know, balls in tight windows, but that's been an issue too. But I agree with you. I think scoring is probably not going to be an issue for these teams on Sunday. No. I think fans will definitely be entertained by this one for sure, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the Panthers will score more points, which I guess is the point of the game, yeah. Right?
That's right.
And I think they'll cover too, by the way, for the folks out there, the degenerates. Yes.
Absolutely, the degenerates. We love you because we're one of you.
Awesome conversation there with Louie of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Make sure to go check him out on Twitter and go check out his podcast, like this podcast, on Apple Podcasts, where you can rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find this show and his show, Locked On Panthers and Locked On Eagles, on Spotify, on Stitcher, Odyssey, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow me at Julian Council on Twitter, where right now, send me in your weekly Friday mailbag questions. You should have plenty of questions that you want to ask right now. The Panthers are 3-1. Come on, send in a question. So we'll get to your questions here on the show tomorrow. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Fun times here in Carolina. The Panthers are looking like a team that actually has a legitimate chance to compete for the division title, which I don't think any of us really truly thought was going to happen going into the year. We thought that they could be a team that might be second in the NFC South and could potentially contend for a wild card. Man, I'm not going to say Super Bowl because that seems a little over the top right now, but this team definitely looks like a playoff team, and they definitely feel like they are a team that can win right now. Matt Rhule might not know what win now means, but organizations don't go trading for Stephon Gilmore's if they don't think they're a team that can win that season. So I love the move by Scott Fitterer, and I love the opportunity that Carolina Panthers have over the next couple weeks facing a 1-3 Eagles team, 1-3 currently Vikings team, 1-3 currently Giants team, 1-3 currently Falcons team, 1-3 currently Patriots team. And oh, I guess that's a Stephon Gilmore revenge game now. Interesting. Either way, a lot of fun times coming here in Carolina and over the next couple weeks. I'm fired up. You should be fired up. And let's get fired up tomorrow as you send me in your weekly Friday mailbag questions. Have a great day, great night. Whenever you listen to this, I will talk to y'all tomorrow.